Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning again. Father, we thank you for the model prayer, always so glorious, so complete as you are. And we do pray, hallowed be your name, set apart. Thank you for your word. Open our hearts to it this morning, and as we continue through the Proverbs, there are so many we can't memorize very many of them in a way, and 30 or so each week, and we could spend a month on each chapter and not just 20 minutes. But Lord, it's all there, and may it quicken our heart to spend time with you in your word. And that is what we need to do. We cannot receive from your word unless we dig into it, unless we open ourselves up to you and to it. Wherever we are, it's such a blessing. You are such a blessing. So this morning, as we look at another group of Proverbs, not necessarily grouped in chapters, it's just about every 30 or so, we put a chapter break in there, and it's good. But most of these verses are pretty standalone and don't really need to tie into too much what went before or after, and it's a miracle in and of itself. So guide us and lead us in Jesus' name, amen. Well, Proverbs chapter 16 today, and we always run across a few, or at least I do, a few Proverbs in every chapter that I at least have heard before. I may not be practicing them, but I'm aware of them. And today our contrasts continue to dip down a little bit. We're down now to 7 buts today. You know, we were up in the 30s and then the 20s and the teens, and now we're down to single digits. So today is just a lot of profound statements, not necessarily contrasting, but building on one another, or the second part building on the first part. Or in some cases, the second part declines from the first part. Verse 1, the preparations of the heart belong to man. How are you preparing your heart, and how is your heart prepared? Because it says that belongs to us. We're to prepare our hearts. We're to plan our hearts. In contrast, however, regardless of how we prepare, the answer that we speak, or the answer of the tongue, or that answer comes out of us, is from the Lord, if it is the best answer. Often we have our own answer to the plans of our hearts, and that's not the best. The best answer is the answer from the Lord. Verse 2, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes. Isn't that an amazing statement? I mean, not amazing, but isn't that a true statement? I don't care, the wickedness of the wicked can get up there, the politicians or whatever, and they justify everything, right? That they do. It's always right. But the reality is, the Lord weighs the spirits. Spirits. How much does a spirit weigh? I don't think this is in terms of ounces and pounds. I think it's in terms of motive. It's in terms of commitment. It's in terms of intent. So motives basically aren't in ounces and pounds, but sometimes it seems like they're in tons, right? I mean, the motive is important, isn't it? All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the motives. Now the third one, anytime you get a commit is always good in a way, as far as if you want to do something. Commit your works to the Lord. Generally, what are you committing your works to? to yourself, building your portfolio, building your bank of knowledge. Well, commit your works to the Lord, and what? Your thoughts will be established. I can't imagine that happening very much apart from the Word of God, or we certainly need to be in the Word of God, because where do our thoughts come from? Well, they come from the stimuli all around us. You know, one of the biggest tragedies, it seems, right now for our youth is they get so addicted to the stimuli of the device, and they don't like to read anymore because that's too lame and too calm. They want that 30-second stimulus, right? And you hear of parents having trouble with their kids playing video games all night long, right? They can't get away from that. So our thoughts are established by what we put into our minds and what we are doing. So commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Verse 4, the Lord has made all for himself. Just think what that really means. Everything is for the Lord. Really, he made everything for himself. Not in terms of the way you and I would think, everything for ourselves. But it's everything for himself. Why are you here in this world? You're created for his pleasure, is what Revelation tells us. 4:11. The Lord has made all for himself, yes, even the wicked for the day of doom. Now, that is kind of a difficult phrase, and the commentators go all over the place on that one. But I see one of the ways you can look at that, one of the ways I look at, think of Habakkuk when he was complaining to the Lord that he wasn't doing anything against the wickedness in Israel, and the Lord said, I am, and if you knew what I was doing, you wouldn't believe it. It's too great, you couldn't comprehend it. And Habakkuk said, oh, yes, I can. I can handle it. So he went up in the tower, and then God said, okay, I'm going to bring Babylon to wipe Israel out. But Babylon, that's the wickedest civilization there is, and you're going to blot out holy Israel with the wicked? And he certainly did. He used the Assyrians before that. And so he uses the wicked for judgment. He raised up Nebuchadnezzar. Of course, Nebuchadnezzar, I think, turned to the Lord. But you remember Cyrus? Cyrus was mentioned 150 years before he was born by name, that God would use him, and he called him his servant. He called him mine, really, and yet he was a wicked man. Verse 5, everyone proud in heart. Okay, we get back to the pride again today. And we get back to the heart again several times. We have the heart, I think, 5 times today. The heart is pretty important to us, isn't it? That's really us. Everyone proud in heart is an what? Abomination. And we get back to the word abomination again. That's the worst. Proud in heart. Pride, 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 pride. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. So you can surround yourself with other pride-minded people, but it's not going to help. His great number is not going to, he's going to get around the results of that. 6, in mercy and truth, think of that. Atonement in mercy and truth is provided for iniquity. Aren't we thankful for that? And by the fear of the Lord, by the fear of the Lord, again, we get the fear of the Lord again today. Fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. So we say the same thing every week. The fear of the Lord, that's the problem in this nation and in the world. There's no fear for the Lord. By the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. So lack of fear of the Lord, you plunge right into evil. That's what we see, isn't it? Too much. Verse 7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. So again, ways, that's always interesting when you see it, and always poses a question, does it not? How are my ways Do my ways please the Lord? If generally my ways please the Lord, then my enemy list will be pretty short, or maybe not at all, because that makes peace with the enemies. We had last week about a harsh word. You know, turn away from a harsh word, because it only increases wrath. But here's the opposite of that. A man's ways please the Lord. The Lord's ways in us. Now we have a better than again in verse 8. Better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. Pretty self-explanatory. Now here's one you've all heard often, verse 9, a man's heart, again back to the heart, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So, you know, I can even think of, like walking, for example. We may plan our trip, and it may be a godly trip, but the Lord will actually bring it all the way down to step by step, won't it? He directs our steps. So he can bring it all the way from little to big, or he can bring it from big down to little. You don't get where you want to go unless each step is in the right direction, right? Or at least you won't get there the right way. You can meander around, but if you want to get there directly, that's the best way. Incrementally. Verse 10, this is ideal now. The divination is on the lips of the king. The king has a position of some divineness in a way by his position, but ideally it's when it is of the Lord, right? If you have a ruler that is not led by the Lord, it's a disaster. Divination is on the lips of the kings. His mouth must not transgress in judgment. Now, if you go back and look at Deuteronomy 17, you're familiar with that. That talks about the rule of the kings of Israel. It talks about the four things that a king is not to do. He's not to multiply
horses.
He's not to multiply silver. He's not to multiply gold. Not to multiply wives. So you want the wisdom of Solomon, right? Everybody wants the wisdom of Solomon. Well, who is probably the worst king, at least, anyway, we're told, who violated every one of those four prohibitions to the greatest degree? I don't know any other king that had 700 wives. They may have been, but 700 wives? Thou shalt not multiply wives? Now, how can you justify that when he's the wisest man in the world? Well, he's not using the wisdom the right way, is he? He's not applying the wisdom the right way. So we have the application there that we need to be aware of. His mouth must not transgress in judgment. Verse 11, honest weights and scales are the Lord's. We kind of get that every week as far as honesty. All the weights in the bag are his work. So he is putting that sense of judgment in you, that sense of fairness in you. I think of people in the ministry, how they go astray with their overall life and passions or positions and possessions. We can fall into problems in all of those away from honesty. Honest weights and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are his work. Another abomination in verse 12. It is an abomination for kings to commit wickedness. For a throne is established by what? By righteousness. Continuing on in righteousness, the next verse. Righteous lips are the delight of kings. And they love him who speaks what is right. Boy, don't we see that? You see that particularly in our government, in a way where we have a president for 4 years, and you know, good or bad, but it doesn't have to be very long into the 4 years before you know whether their lips are speaking a lot of righteousness, a little or none. And then we see the results of that too, don't we, so clearly. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him who speaks what is right. Oh yeah, we love to see righteous leaders, don't we? Now, not all people like that. If you're into sin and you're profiting greatly, you like the wickedness, don't you? We see how many people were voting for that in elections. As messengers of death is the or is a king's wrath, but a wise man will appease it. So, a king gets mad, a lot of people die. But even a wise man or a wise counselor can ameliorate that anger and appease that wrath. In the light of the king's faith is life. And his favor is like a cloud of the latter rain. Now, the latter rain is the second rain of the year, which is a critical one because the first rain requires for germination, and actually first rain also softens up the clods, which is great. But the latter rain is the fruitful rain. His favor is like a cloud of fruitfulness, fruitful rain. And it does produce that fruit in our life. And the obvious is, and the opposite of that would be, anger, always being crabby. That all comes from Satan. That's all the other side. But from him, his favor is like a cloud of fruitful rain. Verse 16, how much better to get wisdom than gold? Now, you see an exclamation point there. It's hard to find exclamation points in Proverbs. There aren't very many, but this is the only one in today's lesson that I could find. How much better to get wisdom than gold? So we're kind of back to that again, how good wisdom is. We've had that over and over, really. And then silver usually is another part of that comparison. How to get understanding. How to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. Now, I think of that as a crossroads in a way. There are times in life when you have a choice whether to pursue something that gives you understanding or whether you want the bucks. You want the bigger salary. I'll go for the job that offers me the most money. Crossroads. He who gets understanding is choosing something better than money. And I would say it's godliness. I'm not understanding the wickedness. That isn't going to get you anywhere. Verse 17, the highway of the upright. Highway is always a good thing in these Proverbs, generally. The highway of the upright is to what? Depart from evil. Now, that word literally means turn aside. The upright are to turn aside from evil. Now depart from it for sure, but also go around it. You know, we get ready to make a trip, and now with the GPS and all, it's really helpful. If we see an accident, we want to turn aside, don't we? We want to go around it. We want to avoid it. We don't want to get caught in it. And so the same kind of a thing here, it seems to me. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who keeps his way or guards his way is another word there. He who guards his way, what? Preserves his soul. Are you protecting your soul? Are you protecting your temple? Are you guarding it? Back to pride again, and familiar verse in 18. Pride goes before destruction or before ruin. And a haughty spirit before a fall, again back to pride. There's quite a few stories about pastors, because this is a perfect example how they leave the pulpit with such a great message, and so, man, I really hit the ball out of the park on that one. Or maybe their first sermon to a big group, and they're so nervous about it and all, and they get done and they think, wow, I really did well. And then they trip and fall down on their face as they leave the pulpit, you know. That happens from time to time. And goes before a fall. So that's, there's different falling here, but that's one fall. We don't like physical falls either, do we? But there are even falls worse than that, I think. Better to be of a humble spirit. Now we're back to humility again. We're going to close with a humble song. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord today, because there's a number of these in here, pride and humility and so forth. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than divide the spoil with the proud. Verse 20, he who heeds the word wisely will find good. Boy, that's a true statement, isn't it? I mean, they're all true, but some resonate a little more with me than others. He who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Oh, I'd like to read this. I'd like to have this verse on my forehead when I come across someone like myself who's always complaining and down in the dumps, and they're saved and they're acting like, it, you know, their burden in the world is heavier than anybody else's, right? And I mean, we're all there to a point at times, but he who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Are you trusting in the Lord? Am I trusting in the Lord? How much? 21, the wise in heart will be called prudent. I like that. The wise in heart will be called prudent, and sweetness of the lips increases learning. Sweetness of the lips increases learning. Sweetness of the lips, I think in terms it could be called pleasant words. Pleasant words. You know, you can really learn things from other people if you're speaking pleasant words to them. If you're speaking prideful words to them, you won't learn anything from them. Of course, if you're speaking prideful words, you probably feel you don't need to know anything because you know everything. I know a lot more than this guy I'm talking to. He doesn't know anything at all, right? I don't have to pay attention to him. I'm not going to, he's got nothing to teach me. Oh, really? That's not what this proverb says. Verse 22, understanding is a wellspring of life. Ooh, that's good. Understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it. Do you have it? How is your understanding? But the correction of fools is folly. And the definition of fools there, I think, in the, particularly in the Old Testament, is one who says there is no God. So somebody who says there is no God, or there is no true God. Everybody's got a God. Even the foolish have a God of some kind. But anybody who does not know the one true and living God, basically, by definition in the Bible, is a fool. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth. Now, and anatomically speaking of the body, it doesn't quite give you that same connection. But the heart, or the application of wisdom, we could say, the application of the wisdom teaches his mouth. So what comes out of your mouth starts from the heart, right? The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. So listen to a person speaking and you'll see what's in his heart. But really, when I listen to my voice, what speaks is what's in my heart. Verse 24, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. So that's a pleasant one, isn't it? Verse 25, there is a way that seems right to man. And again, another very familiar one here. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Now, I think at times we get on our wrong way, but the Spirit will convict us and turn us, won't he? He won't leave us on that way toward destruction. But here, the way toward destruction that the people are on, the unbelievers are on, most of them are happy with that, aren't they? I mean, they're not happy with the mess of their lives, but they're happy with their direction. They don't want to change, right? Because you give them the gospel, tell them the good news, the gospel, and they reject it, they're really saying, I'm really happy with the way I'm on. Now, they don't know what the way they're on leads to destruction, but it says it seems right to a man. Very true there, isn't it? The person who labors for himself, I wrote down, no work, no eat. The person who labors for himself, labors for himself, for his hungry mouth drives him on. One of the commentators I heard gave the example of the boxer who has boxed for the highest price purse in the world. I didn't even know this. It's this Filipino Manny Pacquiao or whatever his name is. Maybe you haven't even heard of him. I mean, I heard of him, I don't know much about him. I think his last fight, he got $220 million. And his testimony is he grew up outside of Mindanao in a very poverty-stricken area in the Philippines. And his whole motivation to fight, he wanted to get good enough to fight to win a purse, so to speak, so he could feed his family for one day. Just to get food for one day. That's how the poverty much he was in. That's how it started his boxing career. There's so many places in the world. I mean, we don't think we got cupboards full of food. We could go without. I mean, give us, O Lord, this day our daily bread. That doesn't mean much to us in a way, in terms of food, physical food, in this nation because we're so rich. But many places in the world, about 40% almost was, maybe it's a little less now. They're concerned about not food for tomorrow. They're concerned about one meal today, one meal. Isn't that hard to imagine when we're so rich? And we throw, and we got, we always look at the label, a date, right? Don't sell after whatever it is. And then even if we don't eat it right away, maybe we'll even consider, maybe we should throw this away because this is really getting stale dated. Well, I mean, just think about what our criteria is versus the person is struggling to get food for one day, maybe meat once a month for a real luxury or something like that. Verse 27, an ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on the lips like a burning fire. I think one of our senators from California would fit that one pretty well. An ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. Verse 28, a perverse man sows strife. Oh, my. And a whisperer or a gossiper separates the best of friends. So, do you have any perversity in you, or do you have any gossiping in you? That's would be a good check for that one. Verse 29, a violent man entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good. I particularly think they could be stamped on every one of our youth's shirt or something or other. Beware of what you're getting led into. Verse 30, he winks his eye. I don't know, we have this from time to time. It is not in good context. He winks his eye to devise perverse things. He purses his lips and brings about evil. Now here we're getting near home here on 31. The silver-haired head is a crown of glory. It is found in the way of righteousness. I'm reminded, I mentioned this before, I think, but Psalm 71:18, what does it say? Now that I'm old and what, gray-headed? Yes. O Lord, do not forsake me until I've declared your strength to the next generation and your power to all who will believe. That's why we're here, isn't it? Verse 32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. A lot of self-control there, isn't there? One of the fruits of the Spirit. Slow to anger is better than a strong person. And one who rules his spirit is better than the warrior who takes an entire city. Meaning that it's actually easier to take a city than it is to rule your own spirit, I guess, completely anyway. But he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. And the last one for today, the lot is cast into the lap. That's how they made decisions in the Old Testament. Basically, they would cast the lot or throw something into a lap, and they would get yes or no out of that answer. But here's a contrast. It's every decision is from the Lord. We're talking about the right decision now. The lot is cast into the lap, but every decision is from the Lord. Father, we thank you for these Proverbs, and we can spend, and we should spend more time, for sure, with them one at a time, just asking you how that applies to me. And not only how it applies to me, I know in my heart that these are all right. How do I apply them then to a change? Or to change comes difficult. And we have two or three days of change, and we think, wow, I've changed. And then we go right, tell everybody, I hope not, but tell everybody how I've changed. And then they watch you and see, and then they pretty soon recognize you haven't changed at all. Yeah, you had two or three good days back then. But Father, we just thank you. We just praise you for your word. And Lord, do direct our hearts this morning as we would come to you in prayer. And we want to pray as you lead us, Holy Spirit, because that's the best way and the only way, really. And so you're inside of each one of us. It's not that we have to ask you to come in. You're already there. But we do want to listen to you, and we want to hear that still small voice guiding us at all times. So direct us now in Jesus' name. Well, let's close with humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. And we've had several verses in today's Proverbs regarding that, and familiar song here, words very straightforward. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
So, Father, we thank you for your Proverbs. We just thank you for allowing our little family to gather together. And we do pray for those who aren't here this morning as well, that you would bless them. And I pray for Anne's great-grandson and others who are today in such pain or such distress, they can't even pray, they can't even read your word, they can't even think, Lord, are so overcome with side effects from medication and all drugged up. And so, Lord, we want to pray a prayer for them where they would all usually be praying, but they can't right now. So we lift them up, and we thank you for every single believer. We thank you for Isaiah 57:1 that tells us that those you take home out of your love and mercy because of the evil that's ahead for them. And so, particularly for the little ones and particularly for the younger people, we often say, why? How would God take that person home? But we know Isaiah 57:1 is a beautiful comfort verse in that regard. So guide this group today and work through us and help us to make a difference wherever we are, shining for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.